Hello and welcome to the Carnage Report, where we bring you the latest on all things horror-related, keeping you up to date with news you can use. I'm Nick Spacek.
And I'm Julie Holland. The Carnage Report is part of the Cinepunks podcast family. Go to cinepunks.com to find entertainment news, reviews, and other great podcasts like Horror Business, Twitch of the Death Nerve, and Tomb of Ideas.
If you want to help Cinepunks and ultimately this show, you can become a Cinepunks Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/cinepunks. That is CINEPUNX.
You can also go check out our great sponsors like Essex Coffee Roasters at EssexCoffeeRoasters.com. They offer specialty grade coffee roasted to order for the most fresh and delicious home brewing experience. Essex is committed to accessible quality coffees, offering education on coffee and brewing to all of their customers. They believe you don't have to be a coffee expert to enjoy a great cup of coffee, and right now, if you use code CINEPUNKS, you'll get 10% off.
Also, Lehigh Valley Apparel Creations is the premier screen printer of the Lehigh Valley, but maybe also the world. Personable and professional, the only place where you get punk rock attitude with professional service and printing. Find them online at xlvacx.com.
All right, now it's time for the setup and our getting to know you question. We are recording this the day after Easter, so I want to know, what's your favorite zombie movie?
Oh, man. Like, this is such a hard one. I mean, like, technically, you could probably count Return of the Living Dead because it's the one I've seen the most. Mm-hmm. But I used to, like, when I used to go out and party way more, I had what I referred to as hangover movies, which is, like, a movie I could put on and, like, watch and it would be fine and not like I just like lay on the couch and zone out and be quietly miserable while watching it. Originally, that was The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original 1950s one. But somewhere in like the mid 2000s, it became Zombie, aka Zombie 2, aka Zombie Flesh Eaters, directed by Luigi Fulci. That movie is such, like, I don't want to say comfort viewing because, you know, it's not necessarily a comfort movie.
I mean, when
someone
a
gets
zombie punches a shark. That's pretty comforting.
Splinter in the eye. people getting torn apart. But yeah, no, there is something about that movie that it's because it definitely plays up the fact that it's supposed to be like a pseudo sequel to Dawn of the Dead, like kind of falls in that like what might be happening in another part of the world sort of situation. And I just like, I never get tired of watching it. Like I could in theory just like put it on in the background while we're recording right now and I would be delighted. So nice. Yeah, that's, I mean, Return of the Living Dead is definitely like a movie I love the ever living hell out of, but yeah, it's gotta be zombie for that reason. Like, but what about you?
Well, as a person famous for not being super into zombies, there's not a lot that would be in the running for my favorite. So top of the heap is definitely Shaun of the Dead. It's fun. It's bloody. I'm sure you've all seen it. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Sort your life out. For a slightly more modern, even though that's pretty modern, and less seen, One Cut of the Dead, I think, is delightful. It's got that same like humor and heart and zombies and spraying blood and other things. So both are a good time. But Shaun of the Dead, I've seen, you know, countless times, and it is definitely a comfort movie. You can put it on at any point and jump right in. Endlessly quotable for every situation as well.
I know, like every single one of those Cornetto movies works great as a both sort of humorous take on the movie they're doing while also still being like a really good version of that movie.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can't even say anything about anything being the greater good without saying it twice because of Hot
the
Fuzz.
Good.
For the greater good, to the greater good.
Oh, yeah, like I'm sure people are gonna like rip on us for like not saying Train to Busan, but like that is a great movie, but like that is not a movie you can watch repeatedly. Like that is an emotional gut punch.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to cry every time I watch.
That's why I watch horror, so I'm not crying all the time.
Listen, I'm sad enough. Like, I recognize it is a great movie and I love it, but like rewatching it is just like something I would have to really psych myself up for, or just like be like in the depth of depression where you're just like, I just need to feel like something.
Yeah, where you got like a cry stuck and you've got to get it out. That's mm-hmm. when you put on a movie that you know is going to do it.
I did that with Logan like about a month ago, and my wife was just like, oh, you must have needed to feel something. Went too far.
Oopsies. How about y'all out there? What are your favorite zombie movies? How do you like to celebrate a good resurrection?
Let us know on the socials.
Yeah.
Now it is time for New Nightmares, our roundup of trailers new to streaming, what's coming soon to theaters, so on and so forth. What are we starting with?
We are starting with maybe the most exciting bit, which is we got first images and a trailer for Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, don't say it a third time, the long-awaited sequel to, I hope the pause was enough to say Beetlejuice again, of course. It will be in theaters on September 6th, and it has, of course, Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder. It also has Jenna Ortega, Willem Dafoe, Monica Bellucci, Catherine O'Hara is coming back. I mean, we're all going to see this, right? Like, we don't have to even hesitate. The trailer looks fun. Jenna Ortega fits right in with Winona Ryder as a lifelong goth. It's going to be perfect.
I am so excited about this. Now, what is your take on the slowed down minor key version of the banana boat song, aka Deo?
I mean, that's what we're doing right now, right? We're slowing down a happy song and putting it in a horror trailer. We weren't doing that in 1988, and now we are. And so I think it fits perfectly. It is a sign of the times.
I do like
that. And one of the songs that works perfectly creepy when slowed down. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, they did also kind of mix it with that Beetlejuice theme by Danny Elfman, who is coming back to do the score. So, I wanted to hate it, but I was just like, you can't do the trailer and not use that song. Like,
yeah, you gotta. Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait.
Oh, it's gonna be so much fun. Also, surprisingly, what looks fun is the trailer for Caitlin Cronenberg's new movie Humane, right?
Another Cronenberg.
We now have three Cronenbergs making movies.
We don't need anybody else.
No, I think we can just let Cronenbergs make movies. This one, the plot is as follows. In a wealthy enclave, a recently retired newsman has invited his grown children to dinner to announce his intentions to enlist in the nation's new euthanasia program. But when the father's plan goes horribly awry, tensions flare and chaos erupts among his children. They have to reduce the population of the world by 20% because of a global ecological collapse.
Yeah, that's a pretty dark premise, and then it's like filled with comedic actors who I think are going to make it, like you said, surprisingly fun given that premise.
You know what's so funny is, so it's coming to theaters on April 26th, and then hit Shudder 2 months later, exactly on July 26th. And they've got like all the stories have like, it's got Jay Baruchel, it's got Emily Hampshire, it's got Peter Gallagher, it's got, but nobody mentions the fact that it's got Enrico Colantoni, and I feel like that is a major letdown.
Well, when your cast is so stacked, I guess somebody has to get pushed off the line one of cast.
I know, but he's like featured so prominently in there, and he is Keith Mars.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This looks awesome. It looks tense and wild.
And also really funny.
Yes.
Something lacking from the other two Cronenberg's movies.
Yeah, for sure. Apparently, the daughter got more of the humor. All right. Next little bit of news. You've heard Nick and I talk about Body Spirit that we saw last year at Chattanooga Festival.
Yes.
Was it? Okay. We didn't know when it was going to come out and how you all were going to get to see it. We know now. It is hitting digital outlets May 7th. As a reminder, in Mind, Body, Spirit, Anya, an aspiring yoga influencer, embarks on a ritual practice left behind by her estranged grandmother. She documents the practice on her YouTube channel for the world to watch, allowing her audience intimate access to her journey. But what starts as a spiritual self-help guide evolves into something much more sinister. As Anya becomes obsessed with the mysterious power of the practice, she unwittingly unleashes an otherworldly entity that begins to take control of her life and her videos. Now she must race to unlock the truth before her descent into madness threatens to consume her mind, body, and spirit. We loved it. Now you can love it too. I assume digital outlets means rentable.
VOD.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited that people finally get to, everybody gets to see this because, oh man, it was like, I mean, we talked about it. This is a movie that when you watch it, like, this is a movie you need to not have any distractions. Like, yeah. There is so much stuff that, like, is hidden in this movie and just, like, will, like, if you glance away to, like, check Twitter or something, you're going to miss some really cool shit. So that is our only spoiler. It's just pay attention.
Yep.
Movie I don't think either of us have seen or I haven't really heard much about this is the Glen Arma tapes, which is coming to VOD and digital on April 2nd, which is the day after we record this. So it will be available by the time you are listening. It is Irish. It is directed by Tony Devlin from a script he co-wrote with Paul Kennedy. And it is as follows. In spring 2020, five students and two faculty members from the Mid-Ulster College of Art went missing in a forest on the north coast of Ireland. What happened on the day they disappeared has remained a mystery until now. Over 2 years after the disappearance, a police operation on a house outside Belfast uncovered footage of the students' final movements as their journey into the forest saw them bear witness to something they never should have seen. The Glen Arma tapes present that footage to the public for the first time. It is found footage.
Irish found footage.
I know, the accents are amazing.
Yeah. I just realized that I structured our outline a little wrong because we've got another Irish one and I didn't put them back to back. Stupid of me.
No, you got to space it out. You get too much Irish and it's too much for everyone.
No, this looks good.
I will probably watch it. Like, I, much as I always am just like, I don't know about another fan footage movie, then they show the trailer and I was like, well, I gotta check that out.
I gotta at least give it a chance.
Yeah, and found footage movies are kind of the perfect movies to watch at home, honestly.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, come for the accents, stay if it's not terrible.
And it's
pretty good.
I like the idea of found footage, like folk horror found footage.
Yeah, yeah. All right, up next, we got a trailer for a Korean Netflix series called Parasite the Gray. And Parasite is spelled a little bit different. It's P-A-R-A-S-Y-T-E, if you're Googling it or whatever. It'll be on Netflix April 5th. And let's see, that's a long synopsis. Here we go. They arrive in silence and darkness. They descend from the skies. They have a hunger for human flesh. They are everywhere. They are parasites, alien creatures who must invade and take control of a human host to survive. And once they infected their victims, they can assume any deadly form they choose. Monster with giant teeth, winged demons, creatures with blades for hands. But most have chosen to conceal their lethal purpose behind ordinary human faces. So no one knows their secret except an ordinary high school student. Shin is battling control of his own body against an alien parasite, but can he find a way to warn humanity of the horrors to come? The effects in this look wild. Mildly goofy, but wild.
Yeah, it looks like, hey, it's like, do you want weird Lovecraftian horrors mixed with weird body horror mixed with crazy action? Here you go.
Did you like the Demogorgon and also Last of Us? You're going to like these guys.
Yeah, I'm. It hits Netflix on Friday, April 5th.
Mm-hmm. So, that'll be the day after this episode drops.
It doesn't say how many episodes it is, though.
Oh yeah, it doesn't. But it is a series, I believe. Yeah, so at least a handful. Korean, so probably not as long, maybe, as I think other countries do shorter series typically, but who knows?
We will find out on Friday, I guess.
Yeah.
And here's that other Irish folk horror. It is called All You Need Is Death. And it's the feature debut from writer director Paul Dwayne. It is on VOD and in select theaters on April 11th. Hopefully that's one of yours. If this sounds like an interesting thing to you, in which a young couple who are part of a mysterious secret organization that travels at night with the desire to uncover discover forbidden knowledge. They believe that living modern alchemy is contained in old forgotten songs. When they find a mysterious elderly woman who sings songs that have never been heard before, they open the door to ancient evil and madness.
This is also showing at Panic Fest. So
Ooh.
if you're going to Panic Fest, it's showing on Sunday. That's exciting. Looks good. Creepy song. Here for it.
Yeah. I love the idea of just like haunted music. I think we're both music nerds as well as movie nerds. So,
Yeah.
yeah. Also, like I've been seeing the poster for this and getting emails about it for a while, and I was like, I don't know, that sounds kind of weird. And then I finally watched the trailer and I was like, oh.
Yeah, it looks creepy. I love folk horror. Irish folk horror has got to be about the best folk horror, I feel like. They really have scary legends.
I feel like, yeah, that like just like the whole like full like United Kingdom, like all of those, like every time there's folk horror out of there, I'm like, well, they do it better. Like they're the ones who started it. Like they
They have all the legends. All right, next up, we got a poster and a release date for Cuckoo. There's also a trailer out for it, but I couldn't find it on the internet.
I know, I
But
saw
I,
it before Immaculate.
yeah. So if you've seen Immaculate, which hopefully you have, if you're going to listen, maybe you saw the trailer for it too. It looks really good in the trailer, but I couldn't find it to watch again to properly describe how good it looks. But I guess, we mostly just read you the synopsis anyway. It'll be in theaters August 9th, and here is what it's about. Reluctantly, 17-year-old Gretchen leaves her American home to live with her father, who has just moved into a resort in the German Alps with his new family. Arriving at their future residence, they are greeted by Mr. Koenig, her father's boss, who takes an inexplicable interest in Gretchen's mute half-sister, Alma. Something doesn't seem right in this tranquil vacation paradise. Gretchen is plagued by strange noises and bloody visions until she discovers a shocking secret that also concerns her own family. This has Dan Stevens, so we know that. We're excited about that. I really wanted to see this at South by, and it didn't show until after I left. But those on my team that were still there saw it and loved it, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, it is from writer director Tilman Singer. I loved Lose, like that
I
movie.
missed Lose. I still
Oh,
need to see it.
it was so good. It's like very much like a one room sort of thing, so I'm very excited to see what they get to do with like a bigger like place to play. Yeah, and getting to see that we talked about like the teaser that came out a while ago, and it's very cool getting to see it within the context of the grander trailer. Like it's just like, oh, it was creepy before, now it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, but I've also heard that it's a lot of fun as well, like funny and humorous, in addition to some really scary looking shit.
Dan
So that's
Stevens looks
good.
like he's having a blast. He's having a great year.
Yeah, he, as long as he enjoys doing horror, he must be so happy because he's doing so much.
Yeah, it's like crazy. Like we haven't really gotten to see him in anything horror related for a while. And then this year, like within like a few months, we're getting to see him in Cuckoo and then also in Abigail.
Yeah.
Cool.
Excited.
So excited. And that was the Dan Stevens Appreciation Corner. I never saw them when it ran on Amazon Prime back in 2021, but it did well enough that we are getting a second installment of the anthology series, which is entitled Them the Scare, which has all of its episodes hitting Prime on video on April 25th. I have hiccups. I'm sorry. it will be 8 episodes, once again set in Los Angeles, and the story centers on LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who is assigned to a new case, the gruesome murder of a foster home mother that has left even the most hardened detective shaken. Navigating a tumultuous time in Los Angeles with a city on a razor's edge of chaos, Dawn is determined to stop the killer, but as she draws closer to the truth, something ominous and malevolent grips her and her family.
I watched the first few episodes of them and then just, I think, just forgot to finish it, honestly, because that's what I do with series. This looks really good. I want to watch this, though. And in the trailer, the whole background, they're playing at least the first loop of I Love Your Smile by Shanice.
I was going to mention that.
Because I'm pedantic, I did look up to make sure that it came out in 1991, and it did, so they are correct.
I know, but it came out in October of 91. So...
Tricky. I'm going to let them have it. because I love that song and I'm excited to hear it.
It's such a good use. Like, again, it's not, this one isn't like pitch shifted or anything. It's just creepy as shit in the context.
Yeah, it just works.
Yeah, I might have to check this one out. It seems like it's a little, evidently the first season is now retroactively known as Them Covenant. Never really like that. It didn't really grab me, so I didn't check it out. But this one.
Yeah. We like that 90s nostalgia, I think, both of us. So.
Yep.
All right. We're going to talk about this one, I guess. Bikers versus Werewolves teaser trailer is available, and by teaser trailer I mean it's like 2 minutes long, so I don't know why we're calling it a teaser, but that's what we do now. There's no release date information. This has Jake Busey in it, if that's the sort of thing that'll make you put a note to keep an eye out for this.
Michael Pare.
There are things that could get you interested in this. I don't know if the trailer's one of them, but it could be fun. As bikers roll into a forgotten town during their journey to Sturgis, a night of respite takes a sinister turn when a rival gang transforms into werewolves, unleashing chaos and terror on the unsuspecting townsfolk. Now, on paper, it sounds all right. Sounds pretty fun. But the trailer, I was just like, oh no, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I appreciate the practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
Although I feel like the poster, which looks like it was and it looks like an asylum poster. That's all.
Yeah.
I can say. It just, like it's an idea I want to love. They're crowdfunding finishing funds on Indiegogo right now. Let's take a look and see how much money they need. It's been completed and they raised $40,400. And it was completed production in February and they needed help to finish post-production. You got to pay like $50. Oh no, you have to pay $25 and you get a digital copy of the movie, a script, and a poster.
That's not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, it could be fun.
It could be. Prove me wrong, director Michael Sue. and finally, some things. This isn't like proper news or whatever, but I feel like because these are both like movies we have covered on recent episodes of the podcast and we're not in theaters for very long. A lot of our listeners have Peacock. We have Peacock. Streaming as of yesterday is Lisa Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. And coming on April 5th, the day after this episode drops, is Night Swim. So if you've listened to our episodes but haven't had a chance to actually watch those movies, now you can.
I've already rewatched Lisa Frankenstein once, and it won't be the last time.
I know. I really want to watch it with Tanya, but I just haven't had time yet.
So good. I can't wait to own it.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't appear there's like anything else like really horror related that's coming to Peacock in April, unfortunately. But I do believe we are getting the new season. Part 2 of season 3 of Chucky will start airing on Peacock after it hits Sci-Fi on April 11th.
Nice.
So that is your oh. And Megan and Megan Unrated are coming back on April 24th. So
awesome.
That's all your stuff. And then, of course, this coming weekend is WrestleMania.
Yes. I'm sure we have a lot of crossover wrestling fans. It's really hurting my heart that Panic Fest is a WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I feel for you. I am sorry.
I took the week off, so I'll be able to like watch it Monday morning and Tuesday morning to avoid the internet.
Best of luck on that.
Yeah.
And that is your news.
Yay.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hello? I know God saved me for a reason, but I guess I'm still searching for what that reason is.
Too much blood of Christ.
It's a miracle. You are with child.
Out of all the women in the world.
Why did he choose me?
How can we trust what's inside you?
Suffering. Is love.
And we're back with our feature presentation. Today we are talking about Immaculate, directed by Michael Mohan. Nick, what is it about?
Cecilia, a woman of devout faith, is warmly welcomed to the picture-perfect Italian countryside where she is offered a new role at an illustrious convent. But it becomes clear to Cecilia that her new home harbors dark and horrifying secrets. Oh, such dark and horrifying secrets.
Let this, among many films, be a lesson to you that when someone invites you, someone you've never met in particular, invites you to Europe, anywhere in it, for free, don't go. It's not good. There's no such thing as a free trip to Europe.
Something is going to happen to you.
Yeah, probably you're going to die. That's how it ends up, or at least it ends up so many times.
At best, you're going to find yourself with an immaculate conception.
Yeah.
Which I have to imagine would be much more terrifying for me than you, but...
Yeah, well, logistically...
Logistically, it would be very terrifying. I would probably be definitely more confused.
Yeah. Although
Sydney Sweeney, as Sister Cecilia, is very confused.
Yeah. You know, and if you spend too much time as a viewer thinking about it, you will also be very confused, which is why I recommend watching this movie and not thinking another thing about it.
Don't.
It's a good time. Don't try to think about the things.
The setting of the film Which is a place, they shot it at a place called Villa Parisi, is the setting for a lot of other Italian horror films. Evidently, Michael Mohan, like in an interview, mentioned the fact that like shortly after like everything they got started, he watched A Bay of Blood, and the opening scene of Mario Bava's A Bay of Blood takes place at Villa Parisi. It's one of those shooting locations for that movie.
He was like, "Oh, that's where we are."
Yeah. So, the word Italian is getting thrown around a lot. I think that is a very accurate, like much like watching a lot of those, all of the interviews I read with Mohan and Sydney Sweeney talk about how much they were going for a 70s vibe in this.
Okay. Yeah. And they do nail it because, well, what they get is that, when are we, that when is this happening? Because the whole first, I don't know, two-thirds of the film, you're like, I don't know, I guess it's like the 70s or the 60s, maybe. It's hard to say, you know, it's a convent, so there's not technology anyway, so you're just kind of not thinking of it until a cell phone rings, and then you're like, oh, okay, I guess we're modern.
I was literally that was almost a jump scare.
Yeah,
while watching it, I was like, oh, it's now.
Oh, we have phones. It's at least in cell phone time, if not right now, it's within the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's an iPhone, so like it's definitely, okay. You know, it's definitely within the last 20 years. So I was like, man, you could have done a flip phone and I would have been even more lost.
Yeah.
But it is a movie that, like so many Italian movies, including the ones that they name drop in multiple interviews, like What Have You Done to Solange, The Red Queen Kills Seven Times, and A Bay of Blood. Like those 70s Italian movies, it is gorgeous. It is wonderful to look at. It has beautiful set pieces. And it is just best that you do not try to figure out how this all makes sense.
No, because it doesn't. The science doesn't check out. When you find out what's really happening and quote unquote how, you're like, okay. But then when you get in the car on the way home and you start dissecting it, you're like, no, I better stop. I gotta stop it because it's never gonna work out to any satisfying conclusion.
It is a movie that it does what it does very well. It is like an 88, 89 minute nunsploitation film.
Mm-hmm.
That entertains like the whole, it's a good slow burn up to like a real good ramp up to just like all of the great like horror movies that you're just like, okay, here's the thing, like it's slow for a while, but the last 20 minutes, holy
it
shit
goes.
This is a last 15, 20 minutes, holy shit movie. Like,
yeah.
It is a little slow going, but you do get like the opening scene, terrifying.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Hated it. In a way I loved it, but hated it.
We get two scenes of terrible facial trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I'm calling, like, I mean, it started last year, at the end of last year, but I'm calling it that is what 2024 is. This is just like showing us what you can do to the human skull.
It's the year of the fucked up face.
Man. And you get two almost three, really. But those are more burns than like actual trauma. But
yeah.
Man, yeah, they're like, and you get like a big, clear, wide shot that like hangs for about 5 seconds. Like they do, the camera does not, it's not like a flash.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause in a lot of ways, I was like, oh, is this movie going to be kind of like, as far as gore and whatnot, maybe kind of mid, kind of, you know, because you're watching it, it's nunsploitation. It's all these, you know, really beautiful nuns and they're all bathing with their clothes on and you're like, okay, we're holding back on the horror tropes. But and they do continue to hold back on, you know, you get boobs through a wet shirt and that's it, and that's great, perfect for, you know, our times that we're in, I guess. But when the gore comes, it is not, they do not hold back, they save it though for the right moments.
It is it is for, if we were to just like sit here and just explain the plot start to finish, it is surprisingly restrained a movie for as batshit as it is.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were reading the script or something, you'd be like, this is insane. This makes sense. This is what they're doing. And I will say what they were doing was different than what I thought they were doing. Even though I knew it was a movie about obviously Immaculate Conception, where I thought it was coming from is different than where it was actually coming from. So they did trick me a little bit, but yeah.
And where, like, there are some plot points in this film. And if you haven't had a chance to go see it, or if it leaves theaters too soon, you can read the full plot summary on Wikipedia. And I will assure you that it is as weird as the plot summary on Wikipedia makes it out to be. I was rereading it. I was like, man, that is exactly as weird as it seems. Like, it is and surprisingly, maybe weirder.
Yeah. As it plays out, you're like, oh, okay. Wow. But it's all happening so fast because it is such a tight film, which I love that we didn't drag it out for any reason. You're just like, you can't stop and think. You're taking it as it comes. You no time to overthink it. No time to be like, wait, hold on. There's none of that. I have seen complaints that we don't get time to like get to know the characters or whatever. That did not bother me. I didn't feel a need to feel connected.
No.
Or to know. I didn't feel like I needed to know any more about anybody.
I like that. That's like the whole idea is like, this is a movie where like the main character is very confused, and like beginning with the fact that she does not speak Italian and she is in an Italian convent. And there are some really great scenes that play on that. But like, that's the whole thing. Like, you're supposed to just be kind of lost and carried along, much as Cecilia is.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think works to the film's benefit in that, like, you get just enough time to about the point where you're enough time to like understand what's going on and like where you are and get a sense of place and like a little bit of a sense of oddity before like it just starts, you go along.
Yeah.
And then once it starts going, it goes.
Yeah. Sydney Sweeney does a really good bewildered face, mm-hmm. of just like confused innocence, like, I this seems great, I don't know what's happening. Her face just, it just works for that.
There is in this movie, and this is apropos of nothing, but I think it speaks to like performance in the movie, the best delivery of the word god damn it I've seen in a movie in a really long time. Like, it is such a perfect delivery that it just like encapsulates just like the scene it's in perfectly. Like, it's just no notes.
Yeah. Yeah. It is the most wits end. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's gory. It's messy. It's a little weird. It is a movie that, it looks so good though.
Mm-hmm.
I keep reading a lot that compares like sort of like the story arc to Suspiria. I don't quite agree.
I suppose only in that it's a bunch of girls. It's a lot of young nuns, much like young dancers, I guess. I don't know. That's about as, I don't think you could go much further, but
yeah, I mean, I can kind of see it with, like, you have a bunch of young women ruled over by a bunch of much older women. There's a scene lit entirely by a candle that I could not look away from. It was so good. Like,
yeah,
there are a lot of scenes that are lit by single light sources that I was a really big fan of. It was a very, it was a really nice movie to look at.
Yeah, agreed.
But yes, again, I think what we're both kind of dancing around is the fact that it is like a movie that takes its Italian influences like maybe a little too far at times. And if that's not your jam, you're like, I know people who do not care for like gialli or Italian horror at all because they're just like, it's all style and no substance. if that is your thing, this is a super fun movie. It's like there's no waste. Like once it gets going, it's a blast. They definitely use a sound cue, like an entire Bruno Nicolai cue in one of the scenes to soundtrack a scene from The Red Queen Kills Seven Times, which is when I found, like, I was like, that sounds familiar. But yeah, it's not a movie you're gonna want to watch a billion times.
No, I don't know if it has a lot of rewatchability, but it is fun. Before I saw it, it was described to me as hacky and derivative. I didn't feel that way coming out of it. I thought it was fun. I mean, is it paving new ground? No, not really, but it's fun. It's fun. It's bloody. It's got some images you won't soon forget.
Yeah, I will say it is derivative, very much so. Like, I mean, you can, like, we could make a massive list of all of the movies it pulls from.
Yeah,
but it's not hacky at all. It's a well-made movie.
Yeah,
it's just like you're gonna get a lot of like, hey, wait, things. But it is a really good movie to just like watch on a lazy Sunday afternoon. Like, it's you're not gonna feel like you wasted your time.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's one that if I'm ever flipping through channels and it's on, I'll be like, oh yeah, I'll put that on.
Yeah, like if it hits like a streaming service that I already have, I will probably throw it on to give it a rewatch. Like you know, ask Tanya if she wants to, like, do you want to see it? Like, I'll watch it again. It would be, yeah. Like, but when I, like, the screening I saw, like, yesterday afternoon, there were maybe, like, three other people in the theater besides me. I don't know how many were at your screening.
I went on, I think, a Wednesday. And, yeah, it was not super well attended. It was, I don't know, maybe a dozen.
Yeah, I don't know if this would be a movie that would be more fun with a crowd or not. Like, a good crowd that, like, kind of is into it.
Yeah. There aren't a lot of, like, jump scares, which I think is what's always fun with a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it doesn't matter too much either way. But it is kind of fun to be able to turn to your friend and be like, that's ridiculous. Or, you know, stuff like that.
I would like to see how, like, a big group of people does respond to those, like, those last 15 minutes.
Though. Yeah. Yeah. It gets real, 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 real there at the end. You're just like, Oh, God. Okay.
So I guess we're both kind of just like, it's fine.
It's fine. It's fun. If you're willing to have fun with it, go see it. If you're going to be all serious about it, it might not be for you.
You can't be serious with nunsploitation movies. Like, just accept the fact that it's the genre is at its root super silly.
Yeah. If you can't laugh at nuns, what can you laugh at?
Yeah, go watch Nuns on the Run.
Yeah.
Learn how to laugh.
In fact, I just watched The Nun 2 last night. Less funny.
So what else should we recommend for other people to watch if they're down to clown with this sort of situation?
Well, I went with a couple of kind of obvious ones, I think, probably, which Rosemary's Baby. You know, you gotta know your history on people being impregnated against their will with who knows what. And then as far as nuns at their creepiest, I went with Exorcist 3, which doesn't have a whole lot in common, but just, you know, nuns. Got some nuns. How about you? What'd you pick?
My impregnated against their will movie is The House of the Devil, which is on Peacock, Tubi, and Pluto. And my crazy nun movie is 2000's The Convent.
I haven't seen that.
I feel like so many people like should really check it out. It is crazy. It is very 2000s horror, but in a good way. And that's on Tubi and Pluto as well.
Nice. I need to rewatch House of the Devil too. I think it's coming back to Shudder this month as well. I think I saw it on the list. Well, that brings us to I'll Be Right Back. Nick, what do you have coming up that's spooky?
I have a couple screeners sitting in my inbox that I want to check out. I sadly this weekend will not be attending Panic Fest just due to can't ask off for like every weekend or my job gets very upset. Also on Friday I'm going to go, I like got a photo pass to go shoot Nico Case, who is now allowing photographers at her shows.
Awesome.
So that is a thing that I never thought would be possible. And also I'm off on Friday, so I'm like, well, I gotta take that advantage. But yeah, that is pretty much it for me, is just like getting down and dirty with a whole bunch of movies that keep popping into my inbox that I don't seem to have time to watch. But now that I have a full Friday off, I may as well dig in and get to watching some movies.
Yeah.
You get to go to Panic Fest. What are you excited about?
I am excited about Panic Fest overall. It's just such a fun weekend. So if you see me, please come say hi. They just announced today that Thursday night, the opening show was supposed to be Joe Bob and Darcy, and Joe Bob had to cancel. So that is a bummer. Darcy will still be there. I'm excited about that. Honestly, most of the things I'm excited about, I've already seen because I saw them at South By, but I'm excited for others to see them too. So if you're going and you haven't picked out your tickets yet, my top two picks are Azrael and Oddity, which I did see already, but I'm excited to see again. And everything else, I feel like I'm going in blind. There's two different spider movies, Sting and Infested. So I think I'm starting the weekend with Sting, and ending the week with Infested. That movie we talked about in the news feed a few episodes ago, Boy Kills World with Bill Skarsgård, is one of the closing night movies, which should be wild. Jill Gavargazian's new film Ghost Game will be there. That's fun. Yeah, there's going to be one called All About, well, we talked about it, All About Death. There's another one called All About Blood. So I'm going to find out which one it is. Or All You Need Is Death and All You Need Is Blood. I'm going to try to figure out which one you actually need. Maybe both. Yeah, I'm just excited to hang out and just be feral and watch horror movies until my brain melts.
I also have to mention the fact that the third installment of Stephen Graham Jones's Indian Lake trilogy is finally out, and I desperately need to get my hands on a copy and also go back and reread the first two books. My Heart Is a Chainsaw, and God, you know what, my brain's just not working right now. Yeah, there's a bunch of books that I really need to reread. I need to reread My Heart Is a Chainsaw and Don't Fear the Reaper before I read The Angel of Indian Lake. But that evidently would require something like burning through 1300 pages. So
yeah, I was just sitting here staring at my book pile before we got on the call and thinking I really need to read for my brain.
So thanks for listening to the Carnage Report. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Report Carnage, and we can be reached via email at carnagereportpod@gmail.com if you'd like to make any suggestions for upcoming episodes or just share your thoughts.
Also, we have stickers, and we have some new stickers. If you follow us on socials, you would have seen that I've been watching too much Double Dare and commissioned a new little drawing for our stickers for my friend. We think they're really cool. So if you see me at Panic Fest, ask me for a sticker or a button, because I did make new buttons as well. And if you can't see us in person, reach out on any of the socials or email us and we will send you stickers and buttons.
We have so many. I've been handing out a bunch lately, like just randomly. People are like, that sounds interesting. I'm like, I'll be right back. I got to go to my car. All music featured in this episode is by Steve Spacek, who you can find on Instagram at Starling Woodworks and at nodder.bandcamp.com. Julie, where are you online?
I am at Dark Humor Girl everywhere you are looking. And if you specifically want to see my Panic Fest coverage, that will be on downrightcreepy.com. Nick, how about you?
I am Niklaus Mouse on Instagram. I am Nuthouse Punks on Twitter/X/Blue Sky. And you can find me on Letterboxd at From and Inspired. And speaking of Jill's ghost game, hopefully later this week on the pitch, we'll have a playlist from her of all the music that is in Ghost Game and how it came to be there. So
that'll be fun.
Very excited about that.
Cool. Thanks again for listening, everyone. We will be back next episode with another roundup of the latest news in horror, and we will be talking about Sting, directed by Kia Roach Turner. Nick, what's it about?
One cold, stormy night in New York City, a mysterious object falls from the sky and smashes through the window of a rundown apartment building. It is an egg, and from this egg emerges a strange little spider. This creature is discovered by Charlotte, a rebellious 12-year-old girl obsessed with comic books. Despite her stepfather Ethan's best efforts to connect with her through their comic book co-creation Fangirl, Charlotte feels isolated. Keeping it as a secret pet, she names it Sting. As Charlotte's fascination with Sting increases, so does its size. Growing at a monstrous rate, Sting's appetite for blood becomes insatiable.
Can't wait! I love spiders!
It has been described as a mix between arachnophobia and The Raid.
All right. Also, Sting is the name we call the little cat that lives in our backyard that's in love with our dog but won't let us touch her.
Aww. Anyway. We'll get all that and more on the next episode.
Yep, we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.